You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today will be a little different type of show because normally when I come in, I look at what's breaking news and immediately jump to a story that interests me, and that usually is the show for the day. But today I was sort of on the fence on several topics. I said, well, what should I do? You know, I'm kind of puzzled. I could go different ways. And it's been a while since I've really looked at the foreign affairs aspect of what's going on. But I need to relate that to the elections, because if anything, this election, why it was about rejecting the Democratic Party agenda as well as Obama's agenda and rejecting Obamacare, and I will say this, also rejecting any attempt by the Democratic Party or Obama to provide legal status as a pathway to citizenship, in other words, being registered as Democrats, and that's apparently what he's going to do in December. I said, what about the foreign policy? Was there a foreign policy message in this election? Because most Americans simply are not that interested in foreign affairs. That's just a fact. And that's one reason I tend to not do that many shows. I do more shows than probably most people, but a lot of talk show hosts stay away from it. Because that, when ratings is the name of the game, you don't want them to turn the channel. But more I thought about it, I said, you know, there is a foreign policy message, and neither the leader, and for once, I think Obama somewhat gets it. But the rest of the leadership, especially in the Republican Party, does not get it, and many talk show hosts do not get it as well. Now, what is that message? The American people are, I'm going to use a phrase, weary of war, but that's become a cliche. You need to be specific when you say that. We've lost upwards of 5,000 men and women killed in combat, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. I apologize, I don't know the exact number, at one time I did, but that's in the ballpark. And we've spent over $1 trillion, some would say $2 trillion, fighting that war. Now, why? I keep saying, why the Middle East? Why would we devote so much of our attention, our resources to the Middle East? And there's only one answer. There is only one answer, because you ask anybody, they'll tell you what it is. It's not a hard question. It's not a trick question. What is the national interest in the Middle East? It's oil. And the way to think about it, Saudi Arabia, supposedly one of our allies, although I'm really somewhat doubtful of that. But you have Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Iran have tremendous oil reserves. Now, clearly, Saudi Arabia has the most and the best reserves. And right now, if you're wondering why your gasoline prices have gone down, is because they've turned up the production. And what they really want, what I really think they're about, is trying to stop this exploration for both natural gas and oil in the United States. And I think they're going to succeed. But to do that, they got to step up the production. Now, I haven't really followed it that closely, but I saw something coming in that sort of piqued my interest, but really have no time to track it down. I follow the gap. Because I pass every day coming and going to Richland College gas stations, several, but one in particular, one of the big discount outfits, the price jump was a jump by 10 cents. Now, in the past, most people will say, well, that's supply and demand, and that is Saudi Arabia pushing up production. Well, part of that is true. But what really controls the gasoline prices is betting on the futures market as to what the future price of petroleum or crude oil will be. And that gets translated into also the future price of gasoline. And if you add for taxes anywhere from 45 to 55 cents, you could see what the future contracts are selling for. Add that to it, and you get very, very, very close to what gasoline prices are doing. Now, I no longer play the market or give investment advice. That's not what I'm trying to do. But isn't it interesting that a week after the elections, suddenly gas prices are going up? What's going on? Apparently, U.S. oil companies want to continue to explore, drill wells, and increase production in the United States. However, and here's the problem, as the price of a barrel of oil goes down, and some say the magic number is around somewhere between $70 and $80, it becomes prohibitive to do this drilling for this reason. These wells are expensive. They involve shale, and they're expensive to drill because to do that, you have to frack it. In other words, you have to pump basically water under pressure to crack the rock so you can get at the gas or the oil. So that adds expense, considerable expense. And these wells, unlike other wells, tend to run out after a short period of time. Yes, there's a peak production, but within a couple of years, if not sooner, the production goes down. So they're expensive to drill. There is production. You definitely get your rewards, but it's not a very long-term reward where the well will be producing at a high rate for many, many years. So what's key is, what is the price of a barrel of petroleum? So the extent that the Saudi Arabian government is increasing production or supply of oil, and its intention is to stop the exploration for more oil and natural gas in the United States, that's part of it. I don't think it's the entire story at all. I think you also have a dimension of impacting Russia as well as hurting Iran. Because Saudi Arabia, because it's sitting on the most reserves, is the only one in the position that can do that. The other countries would like to have higher and higher and higher and higher prices for petroleum. That includes Russia, that includes Iran, and that includes other nations in the Middle East. So you have a difference of, not opinions, of objectives as what they want to accomplish. And the Saudis are pursuing a strategy of trying to bring down, at least temporarily, the price of petroleum. Now, I bring that up because to relate it to what you're doing, and it's important, as the price of gasoline goes down, how does that impact Americans? First of all, it gives you more money that you would have had to pay for gasoline at the pump. That money can be spent on other things. You know, for an instance, several months ago, the price of gasoline in Dallas was up to $3.70. I think it peaked out about $3.70. And up to today, it got down to $2.56. And I'm talking a gallon of regular gas. And taxes are sort of on the low end in Texas. If you're in California or some states where gasoline is highly taxed, you're still paying a lot more. But it's really a lot of the gasoline price is a function of what the taxes are. But anyway, so up to a week ago, it was running around $2.55, $2.56. That's over $1.20 a gallon cheaper than it was 3 months ago. So multiply by 10, you have at least $10 or more in your pocket to spend on something else. And again, it depends on how much you drive. I drive very few miles. I literally could do without a car and walk, and that probably might be a good idea because I need the exercise. But most people in Dallas need a car. Now, I could do that for, if it was just simply walking to Richland College and back, that might be a viable option, but you need groceries, and I could probably still do that if I arranged to have some kind of basket to walk with, because I need to carry my groceries. But I don't. I have a car, and I lease the car, and I drive it very little. The average day round trip
is about 5 to 6 miles.
And that is true of a lot of people, especially when they retire or get older. They tend to stay home. And if they drive, they don't drive that much. It is to go to the grocery store. That's probably one of the first things they do is to go to the grocery store, maybe the bank, although they could do that online. It's the shop, because most of them are not working or not going to school. So you need to keep that in mind. As people grow older and retire, they're not driving as much. And that's true of a lot of people. But if you're unemployed, you're not driving to work either, and your resources are limited. So you're real sensitive to the price of gasoline. Because I don't care who you are, if you have a car, you need insurance, you need gasoline, you might need some maintenance, and you probably have a car payment, whether you're leasing or buying it. So having a car is at least going to cost you, I'll ballpark it here, somewhere between $300 to $400 minimum a month versus walking. So if you walked, you could save that a month, and you could spend it on other things, or you could just save it, or you could spend it on other things. And for many people, that has become an option, a real option. Or they have a very, very small car. They're not trying to impress anybody. And that's sort of my position. I view cars, autos, as transportation. I don't particularly like to drive because I used to be in sales, and I drove a lot all over Dallas. And driving is just a way to get from point A to B. I don't really, and different people are different on this. There are people that are car guys. I'm not a car guy. I view a car as transportation. It's that simple, and I frankly don't want to invest my money in it, but I'm leasing a car for the first time. My brother talked me into it, and I'm doing it. It made sense at the time, but at the same token, I would much rather, if I could find the right car, buy one and keep it. I'm the type that buys a car and keeps it for at least 15 to 20 years or more. Even when I was driving it heavily, I would keep up on the maintenance. I try to keep up the car in good condition. But the problem there is the older the car gets, you're going to need to put in more money. So I'll give you that background that most people, oil or gasoline is important to their budgets. And the expense of a car is probably, after their home, is their second biggest expense if you add the insurance, the gasoline, maintenance, registration, inspection, everything that you need to keep up the car. So that's important to keep in mind. And to the extent that you're not driving very much, that gives you more money to spend on other things. And to the extent that gasoline prices go down, that gives you more money. Now, that it goes the other way. Is if gasoline prices should revert to what they were several months ago, we could be back at $3.70 before with a blink of an eye, especially because supply and demand only indirectly affects future prices because of the speculation on the commodities futures market in what the price of gasoline will be in the future. That's what's really determining the price you're paying at the gasoline pump. There is a lag of several weeks, but that's just from people that follow this. I don't follow it, but I'm convinced they're absolutely right. That's if you do that, you'll find out that's what's determining price. See, at one time, the futures market was highly regulated, and the extent of speculation was limited, no longer. When it was regulated, approximately 30% of the contracts could be by speculators that are not interested. They're not a producer nor a user of the commodity, whatever it is. They were purely speculating on it. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem is we now have a deregulated market, and as a result, those contracts are predominant by speculators. In other words, it has very little to do with supply and demand. It has to do with betting, and that's what it is. It's betting. It's like a casino. It's very much a casino as to what people think the price will be in some future date. And it's very much manipulated by large financial institutions and the people they hire to give out stories, and unfortunately, many of the stories are false. But that's not what this is about. I wanted to point out, though, that gasoline prices based on one gasoline station, that's not evidence, but just it's one way that I say, what's going on here? Why did it suddenly go up a dime? Actually, I think it went up 12 cents. Why did it suddenly pop from Sunday to today? What happened?
Well, I could track it down, and I'm sure if I did, the future price of gasoline several weeks from now has gone up. And then the question is why. Are the Saudis backing off on their strategy? I don't know. I really didn't have time to investigate that. That would be an interesting story in and of itself. But the important point is this. Why are we in the Middle East at all? And how does this relate to the last election? Now, if you listen to the leadership of the Republican Party, both in the Senate and in the House, and I'm talking the leadership now, the political elitist establishment, they want to get back to Iraq. They do. Do the American people want to go back to Iraq? I would say, no, they don't. No, they don't. They don't want their sons and daughters to go there. They don't want our Congress to spend money, a dime, a penny on it. Yeah, they're upset with the Islamic State. They don't like what that organization is doing in Iraq and Syria. But what I've said on the show is what you have going on in both Syria and Iraq is a civil war. The Islamic State is trying with other organizations to overthrow the government of Syria. It's also trying to overthrow the government in Iraq. Now, what you need to understand is the Islamic State is largely Sunnis. They're the majority of people of the faith of Islam are Sunni, in this case, Sunni Arabs. They have no liking for Persians or Iranians, but they really have an animus against the minority of Islam, namely the Shia. And those are predominantly who they've been killing. They've been killing in Iraq the Shia. And that means anyone that's in the Iraqi armed forces or police. It's a religious war. It's a political war, it's a religious war, and that's in Iraq. And in Syria, they're trying to overthrow the regime of Assad. Now, here's the problem, and here's the conclusion that most Americans have come to. They don't want to be on anyone's side in Iraq, Syria, period. There's no good side. There is no good side. They're both terrible. There's no good choices here. And because of that, they don't want their sons and daughters to go back there. Too many people have died. Too much money has been spent. And every time we intervene, it's just a matter of time before American troops, men and women, start dying. And for what? To keep the Shia and the Sunni apart? No, that's not why. Because we want to control oil in the Middle East. That's why we're there. If this was Africa, would we be there? No, we wouldn't. Because they don't have massive reserves of oil. Now, they do have other resources, but it's not oil. And you need oil primarily for transportation and heating. Most of the energy in the United, about 40% of the energy in the United States is for electrical power generation. And that today is primarily, well, still coal as a big part, as well as hydroelectric, but more and more it's natural gas. And a portion is nuclear. And those numbers have changed. But you need to keep in mind, we can generate most of our electricity if we wanted to by natural gas, and that's what many power plants are switching to. But we have massive reserves of coal, but we have massive reserves of dirty coal, and that's what the Obama administration doesn't want. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. The American people, forget about the Democratic Party and Republican Party for a minute, don't want to go back to Iraq. However, you have the leadership definitely in the Republican Party that are saying we should. We need more boots on the ground. I'll be the first one to say, if your mission is to defeat the Islamic State, you cannot do it just with air power. And for that matter, you cannot do it with the Central Intelligence Agency running covert operations and spotting where the targets are. Yeah, you can damage them, you can slow it down, but you're never going to win a war just with air power. You need troops on the ground. So if you're committed to really win, you don't need 3,000. You see, the Obama administration waited to after the election, they should have done this weeks ago, to say they're going to add an additional 1,500 advisors, trainers, to go to Iraq. That brings the total to 3,000. 3,000 total. That's not enough. You know, if we want to win this war, the United States has to fight it. The problem is the American people want no part of that. They don't want a third Iraqi war. And the neoconservatives and the Republican Party better take a note of that. They didn't get a mandate to go back to Iraq. Now, many of them are trying to push that. And the president, tiptoeing in, is adding and adding and adding. Now, if you ask me, what should we do? Get out. Get out completely. Bring the troops home and let them stay home. Let them have rest and relaxation, R&R. We need to reinvigorate and stand down. And what does that mean? That's going to mean a lot of bloodshed in Iraq and Syria. There will be a civil war. It will be violent. It's not going to be pretty. No civil war is. And there will be atrocities on both sides. But the only reason you have the leadership pushing for this is because of the oil. And we have plenty of oil in the United States that we should be developing. We don't need to rely upon the Middle East for oil. There are other countries that need the Middle East for oil, but we're not one of them. So I would stand down, stand back, and let them fight. And they will be killing each other for the coming decades. And that is the sad fact of it. It is a tragedy. But that has been history, and this is a long history. This has been going on since World War I and the discovery of oil, and first in Iran, then in what used to be called Mesopotamia or Iraq. Then it was the British that had the American role, and what were they doing? They were intervening, and they were bribing people with gold, and that's what we're doing. We pay off the people we want so they'll agree with our policies. But stay out. I don't agree with what the president's doing. My view is this. If you want to go to war, then get the American people behind you. Declare war. The problem is you'll never get that declaration today, period. If you had a national conversation on this, a declaration of war would be turned down. Instead, they go for first authorization of funding for this. Another $5 to $6 billion. Wasted, thrown down the toilet again. When are we going to learn? Military intervention simply doesn't work. Now, it benefits certain companies in the United States that have a lot of interest in Iraq. Your major international oil companies have interest in Iraq. And I've gone over that. I'm not going to go over it again. But that's really the only reason we're there. That is our national interest. Period. And all we've been doing is destabilizing the Middle East. That's what we've been doing under Bush, and that's what we've been doing under Obama. And it's been costing us money. It's been costing us allies because we break our promises. And the American people have said enough. They don't want another Iraqi war. With that, I'll sign off. This will be a short show, but hopefully next Friday I'll probably get back into this a little bit more. With that, my name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.